children come out enough tonight. All the little kids, I got a great story for you tonight. Everyone come on down. All the children. Now, you got to be down here if you're going to get a ring pop tonight afterwards. And you got to listen to the service. Do good enough where your parents can okay with you. Right on here. Come on. Slide on in. That's good. If we need some more, right back over to this side here. Come on back in here, guys. That's good. Take the next row. That's good. All right. Right in there, Brother Andrew. Right there. There you go. Need some help there, honey? Right here. You know, can you slide over there? There you go, Melody. Slide over right there. All right. Okay. You ready? Find one. Daniel, right in there. That's good. All right. Right. Okay, fellas, come right in here, guys. Right back over here. Okay, sit right there. All righty. All right. Give me your eyes right up this way. Give me your eyes right this way so I know you're looking. I need a couple of volunteers tonight. Let me see here. Wait a minute. Let me see a couple of volunteers tonight. Okay, one right here. Okay, come here. Okay, Tommy, you can come here too. All right, now, I'm taking a chance. Can you be good tonight? Yeah. Okay, all right, come on over here. All right, so now I want you guys to sit down right here. You don't got to face this way, okay? Okay, put your feet straight out. Okay, now close your eyes because you're not here, okay? All right, that's good. All right, a long time ago, there were a couple of preachers, and Paul and his partner, Silas, and they had been preaching away. Look at me, hey, you got to pay attention. They're not there. You can't see them. They got their eyes closed, okay? You can't see them now. All right, look here. I see you looking. No looking. All right. No looking. I see that. Okay. So all of a sudden, they're preaching away, and they cast out a demon out of a lady that was foretelling the future. And so the people that owned her, she was a slave, got really mad at them, threw them in jail. But before they did, they took them to the magistrates. That means they took them to the judges. And they said, these people are teaching things that are not legal for us as Romans. And so we want them beaten. We want them to stop. So they take them back and they strap them up. And the Bible says they scourge them. They whip them, the Bible says, with many stripes. Now, does anybody know how many stripes the Jewish people could whip people with? When they didn't do something right, they could whip. If you were a Jew, they could only give you so many lashes. Does anybody know how many lashes that was? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. How many lashes was that? Anybody know? Yes, sir. Well, a little bit more than three, for sure three. Somebody else? Yes, Ms. Michaela? Almost. That's very close. Daniel? 39. How do you know 39?
Because if they did 40, it would kill them.
If they did 40, it was against the law. You're right. So the Jews had a rule that you couldn't give somebody more than 40 stripes. And many times it would kill them. So they would only give them 40 stripes. But Hemi, what's the rule for the Romans? Anybody know? This is Acts chapter 16. What was the number that the Romans had to stop at? You know?
50?
No, sir. Good guess. Yes, ma'am? None. You're right. So the Romans could whip them to death. And so these two preachers, the Bible says, had been beaten with many stripes. You know what that means? They just beat them until they got tired. And then they threw them in prison, and they gave the prisoner, the prison, the captain of the prison. Now I need a captain of a prison. Let's see here. Yes, sir, come here. Come here, all right. Have I used you before? No, I'll try it, okay. All right, right. Okay, wait a minute now. Now, you're to guard these two that are not there yet, okay? You're to guard them now. And so this guard gets the command from the magistrates and says, you keep these guys safe. So he gets them and takes them, put them in the bottom of the prison, and then he puts them in stocks, okay? Now you can open your eyes, guys, okay? So he puts them in stocks. So he puts their feet together, and he ties them all up, and he puts them in stocks here. Put your hand up here. All right, put them in stocks here. Put your hands up here, Tommy. Hold them like that. Just don't move them. Okay, good. All right, so they put them in stocks. No, can't put them down. You're getting in stocks. That's good. All right. So they're in stocks. And so that's hard, isn't it? That's hard, yeah. And so the guard is watching them. And so it's about midnight. And Paul and Silas, Tommy, you guys, y'all are singing. Okay? Yeah, you can put your hands down. Okay, that makes it hard. Okay. Now, can you sing for me tonight? Let's sing. Do we know a song? What song do you guys know? Anybody know a song? The B-I-B-L-E. Okay, you ready? Can you sing that one? Okay, so now the guard, you know what he does? Anybody know what the guard does? Anybody know what the guard does? Yes, sir.
He falls asleep.
That's exactly right. So you go to sleep right there. Okay. He falls asleep. So now he's asleep, and the preachers are singing away. Ready, set, B-I-B-I. Okay, ready? That's good. That's the book for me. Come on, guys. Come on, that's good. All right, come on. I can't hear you. They were singing loud. Can you do that? Do you know the song?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll sing it. Come on. Okay, so he'll never be Paul again. I guarantee you that, all right? So he's singing away, and all of a sudden, an earthquake happens. And the whole place begins to shake. And guess what happens? Their stocks fall off and they stand up. Stand up. They stand up. Come on. Here you go. And they come out here into the hallway, and the guard wakes up. And when he does, he said, "Oh no, everybody's gone." So the guard jumps up. You got it. Oh no. Oh no. Everybody's gone. And so he starts to take out a sword and he's going to kill himself with it. Come on, guys, listen. But he doesn't get to, because Paul yells out, "Do thyself no harm." Okay, so he stops, and does anybody know what the guard did next? Does anybody know what he did next? Yes, ma'am. He falls down before his feet. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Okay, now you guys can go on back. Go on back. You did a good job. All right? Now listen very carefully. I want you to help me with the rest of the story. How did he know to go to Paul and Silas to be saved? How did he know they could help him? Anybody know? They were singing about the Lord. Yeah. They were singing about the Lord. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And their backs were all bloodied. People, their backs are all bloodied, and they're singing about the Lord. There's something different about them. They must know how to be saved. Now, they may have been singing, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." They may have been singing something like that. So that he knew that all of a sudden, I've got to go find out about this Jesus. But I want you to know this. Paul and Silas, their backs are all beat up. Let me ask you this question. Do you think God knew that they got beat? Yes. Do you think God could have stopped them from getting beaten? Why did God not stop them from taking a beating? Why did a bad thing happen to good men? Yes, ma'am?
Because they
wouldn't have been in prison to tell the jailer about how to get to heaven. So tonight, we're going to look at the sovereignty of God, which is a big word for what God wants to do for us, with us. And so these two preachers, they got a chance to go to the Philippian jailer's house and tell him about Jesus and his wife about Jesus and all of his children. And they all got saved and baptized that very night. You want to know why? Because two men were willing to take punishment for Jesus Christ. They didn't ask for it. They didn't want it. But when they were mistreated, it didn't take away their joy. How many of you know what the poochy lip disease is? Let me see it. Okay, I don't want you to show me. I just want to know you know what it is. Okay, that's good. All right, can you tell me what, Mr. Stryker, what's the poochy lip disease?
It's something like
you're mad at. That's right. It's something when you get real mad, you just gets it up. Your lip just curls up. It's like whenever you don't feel like something's right. Anybody here ever had the poochy lip disease? Okay. All right. Now listen very carefully. When we're a Christian, we learn to trust the Lord. I can guarantee you Paul and Silas weren't sitting in the jail with their backs bloodied with a poochy lip disease, because they love Jesus enough to be able to take some mistreatment and still sing. Now tonight, I wonder if we can take a little mistreatment and still sing. Well, that's the lesson. Because if we can't, we can't be a light in a dark place. And that's what Paul was. When they sang with blood running down their backs, "Oh, how happy I am that Jesus used me." And I don't know what song they sang, but I know this. They were rejoicing in the Lord so much that when the jailer heard it, he said, "They've got something I don't." And he fell at their feet and trusted Christ as Savior. So tonight, when you go back to your mom and dad, remember this. If you're mistreated, anybody ever been mistreated? How many of you want it mistreated? Been not treated right or fairly? Anybody here not been treated right or fairly? You know what? When that happens, don't get the poochy lip disease. Sing anyway. Do what's right anyway. That's the lesson tonight. Okay, you go back to your mom and dad. Boy, you listened good tonight. Great group tonight. I thank you for coming tonight. Have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 39. Now, you know, that's not just a children's story. That's a story for all of us. I mean, all of us, if we have to learn a lesson, I am certain that Paul and Silas were not happy about getting whipped within an inch of their life for doing a good thing. But I want you to notice tonight, this is Genesis 39, verses 1 through 20. Now, I want you to, tonight, if I could have your attention, this is a very important message tonight that all of us can learn a lesson from. And all of us need to learn this lesson in order for God to use us. You know what you notice? Joseph is a great example of it. Because every one of us can feel like Joseph one time or another. Notice, if you would, Roman number 1, the outline. Joseph was tested, tried, and suffered greatly, but he remained faithful to his God. Now listen very carefully. Did God know that Joseph was going to be mistreated by his brothers? Yes, he did. Did God want him to be mistreated by his brothers? The answer, no, he didn't. But God uses bad people or people that are not right with God to work in our lives to where we can shine in a dark place. And I want you to notice today, if you see the outline, you'll notice faithful to his God after he suffered greatly. What suffering did he have? Well, you'll notice he was talked about. Every place he went, he had on this beautiful coat. And so his brothers and his sisters, he's got sisters, he's got, you know, all these brothers, but everybody's talking about it. All of his brothers are talking about it. Anybody here ever had somebody, you just felt like people were talking about you? It's an awful feeling. Well, especially if it's your family. And you know they're running you down. And not only were his brothers running him down, listen to me, they were planning to kill him. And that's the ultimate talking about. That's the ultimate of being slandered. So he's following his dad's orders, and he goes out to his brothers, and they see him coming, and they hate him so much, they said, "We want to kill that guy." So number one, they say, "We're going to kill him." So they take him and throw him in a pit. Now this is chapter 38. They throw him in a pit, and they are ready to just leave him there and let him die. And then one of the brothers says, "Look, let's get him up. And we'll take him and I'll take him back home." But in the meantime, he went apparently someplace else to come back and get him. And when he did, he was gone. They had pulled him up out of the pit and sold him to a caravan of Ishmaelites. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of very few things that are lower than to sell your brother or sister into slavery for the rest of their lives. Then they took that beautiful coat. They killed an animal, a lamb. They sprinkle the blood on the coat and takes it back to dad and say, "Dad, we can't tell or not. Is this Joseph's coat?" He said, "Oh, yes, and blood all over it. Joseph must be dead." You know why they did that? So nobody would ever look for him. Now, that's suffering. To know, listen very carefully, that nobody's coming for you. One of the greatest sorrows that I could imagine, if a child were taken, or your loved one was taken, your wife was taken, or your husband was taken, whether in war or whatever, MIA, POW. You don't know if they're alive or not. But you are that person, and it's been a long time, and you don't think somebody's coming to find you. Well, that was Joseph. He knew his brothers weren't going to go back and tell his dad, hey, we sold Joseph into slavery. He's gone with the Ishmaelites. He knew they weren't going to do that. And the Bible says a little later on that his brothers saw the anguish of his soul when he pledged them, don't do this. And they went, bye-bye. And they split up the money. Can you imagine the anguish that was in his soul? The hurt. Now he's 17 years old. He's a teenage boy. I wonder how many of our teenagers could take that kind of pain and suffering and not turn on the Lord Jesus. I wonder how many of us can take that kind of suffering and trouble and mistreatment and not turn on the Lord. And when I say turn on the Lord, stop praying. Stop going to church. Now, Joseph had no church to go to. So it's easy for him to forget the Lord. He just stops praying. He's got no Bible. He's got no God. But it didn't happen that way. I want you to notice, if you would, in the outline, after Joseph was sold by his brothers, the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Notice chapter 39 and verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, and which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he's a permanent slave in the house of Potiphar. Now, at that point in time, Scripture has people that have been mistreated tremendously, and they would not give up on their God. They decided that God was still good. Now, I want you to notice tonight, if you have your Bible, and you have your outline, notice this, be in the outline. Even in one of Joseph's greatest trials, God was with him. Now, he said, the Bible says the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But I want you to notice how many times it says it. Notice in verse 2 of chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. There's a second time, and notice number 5, that the Lord blessed Joseph, blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So the Lord was with him. And notice verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. So everywhere Joseph went, the Lord was with him. And you know what that tells me? That Joseph was with the Lord. He refused to stop praying. He refused to stop saying, Lord, I need you. I want to walk with you. And you know what? You can be in prison with Paul and Silas and still sing. You can be in prison with Paul and Silas and still pray and say, Lord, thank you for letting me suffer for your name. But it takes a great Christian that trusts the Lord. I wonder how many of us are that way. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, see in the outline. I want to take just a little bit of time here tonight for this purpose. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, God's sovereignty is on display here. Now, the word sovereignty is literally, the definition is a supreme being or someone that's in charge. So the sovereignty of God is really the rule of God, the absolute rule of God. Now, I want you to notice tonight that God is sovereign in all of our affairs. God does know everything that's happening to us. And God does know everything that's going to happen to us. And God does control it. Now, does God want things to happen? No. There are times when God allows things to happen, but he's still in control. And the question we could ask is, why did God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's a question that's been asked for centuries, for millenniums. Well, if there's a God in heaven, why does he allow things to happen to good people? Why is life not fair? Listen very carefully tonight. I want you to see, if you have your Bible, notice with me, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 18. If you'd keep your finger in Genesis, but turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to see this. I'm going to answer that question tonight. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 18. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, now keep in mind, this is from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jeremiah. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. So he's sitting there, he's running the wheel, and he's got a vessel, and he's making it. And verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. So get the picture here. He's got a lump of clay. He makes it into a vessel, and it's got a bad spot in it. Maybe it had a rock in it or had something, but it didn't look right. So he takes it and remakes it, mashes it back up, and starts all over, and he makes it again. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 100. I'd like for you to turn there very quickly. Psalm 100. I want you to notice this. Psalm 100. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is sovereign. He is the King of kings. He is the creator of everything. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Now, tonight, I want you to, we all can learn the lesson tonight, that good things, that bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people because God has a plan. And we are not, whenever he takes a lump of clay as us, and he's making something out of our lives that hurts. Paul and Silas. We are not to say, Lord, why? We're not to look at the Lord and say, Lord, this isn't fair. Now, the more distance there is between us and the Lord, the more times we'll ask questions like that. I've heard people say it's never wrong to ask why. Well, I'm not sure that's true. There's a point where we say, Lord, I don't understand, but I do trust you. I know your way is perfect, and I trust you. Now, I'm not going to take all the time tonight, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 9 and chapter 11 that God chooses one or the other, but in chapter 8 it tells us how and the process. Now, there's regrouped Reformed theology and Calvinism and all that, which it says God just reaches over and he just picks somebody, and that's his right. Now, that would be God's right, but it is not the way God uses it. God says in Romans chapter 8 that according to the foreknowledge of God, he predestinated us. It's very clear. So God looks down the quarter of time and he sees things that we would do, choices that we'd make. And then he sets us into order and he places us in certain places. And the question is it okay for God to take us, make us into a lump of clay, and let us be sold into slavery that he can use us? Is it okay for your boss to mistreat you and fire you and it wasn't your fault? Is that okay if God has a plan to use you? You see, in American Christianity, in America, Christianity is you do what's right and God will always bless you. It's not true. Sometimes you do what's right and you do what's right and something bad happens. It's not fair. Paul and Silas did what was right, preached the gospel, helped a young lady with a demon in her, and they're beaten with an inch of their life and thrown in the deepest part of the jail. But what we do with that mistreatment makes all the difference. It makes it where we can shine or not shine. It makes it where we get the poochy lip disease, we feel sorry for ourselves, Or we stand up for Christ as such as Daniel did, such as the three Hebrew children did, and not like Jonah did. Jonah got the pooch lip disease. Now you'll notice with me, if you would, in the outline, see God's sovereignty is on display here. Notice number one, God made us. We read that in Psalm 3. Notice number two, He can use us for His will the way He wants. We have to understand that. We have to learn that. We have to know that about God. Now notice this. Life is not about us, but it's about Him. That's a fundamental lesson that we as Christians need to realize and learn. Christians in China, they know that lesson. Christians around the world, Hudson Taylor learned that lesson. Various great missionaries learned this lesson. Look, it's not about me, it's about Him. And they get put in certain circumstances where their life's in jeopardy and they trust the Lord and say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about You. That's exactly what happened with Paul and Silas. Our lives aren't in jeopardy. I mean, we're a testimony at work, and the boss gets up. I heard about somebody today that was that lost a job because they told the truth and because they were standing up for something that was right, and the end result was they lost a job. I heard somebody else this week that didn't get a job because they refused to lie on their resume, and they would have had a great job and have had a tremendous job for the rest of their life. And they said, I can't sign that resume. And they said, we've got people already set up. They falsified the resume. They said, I can't do that. I have to stand before God, and I can't stand before Him lying to get this job. But I need a job. Came to my office and said, Pastor, pray for him. We need a job. But I know the Lord is always good. Now, that's easy to say when you got a good job. But when you don't, and bills are due, that's when the test comes. So Joseph, understand, been sold into slavery. Now keep in mind, he's now a slave in Potiphar's house. So he has two choices. Notice with me if you would. Turn with me if you would back in your Bible to Genesis. I want you to notice this. Genesis chapter number 39. And we'll look at it. If you got Genesis 39 in verse number 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. Now that tells me that Joseph did not have the pooch lip disease. It tells me that Joseph had a joy in his heart and he had a work ethic that Potiphar looked at and said, there's something different about that young man. Man, I give him to clean out the latrines and he does it with joy. I can't figure it out. I let him clean out the pig pen and he did it with joy. I can't figure it out. I mean, he's a slave, but he shouldn't have that kind of joy. I don't know what it is. And then he noticed everything that he did was blessed. I mean, God just put his hand of blessing on it. And he said, you know what? I'm gonna give him a little responsibility. I'm going to put him over my house and household affairs and see how he does. And God blessed the whole house. And he said, man, I'm glad I did that. Now, if you can picture Joseph, he's been sold into slavery twice. He's been thrown into a pit to be killed, and now he's head of Potiphar's house. He's still a slave, but he's got responsibility. He's got joy. He's walking with the Lord. The Bible says the Lord is with him. He's in pretty good shape. He's pretty excited. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife says, well, that's a good-looking young man. I can just imagine whenever she came up to him. Now, notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. So Potiphar said, Joseph, you do a much better job managing my house than I ever could. I see that your God blesses you when you do whenever you take the sheep up there and when you take the camels over there, whatever the decisions you make, it always works out best for me. So you just take my house and you manage it, and I'll just live with the results because God is with you. And so then notice, if you would, in verse number 6, and knew not aught that he had save the bread which he did eat. He said, I don't know about how many lambs and cattle and horses I got and mules and camels, but I know this. Do I have food to eat tonight? That's all he worried about, because Joseph took care of everything else. He was that trusted. Then notice, if you would, verse number 7, came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now let me ask this question. Did he ask for that? No. Can you imagine the prayer? that Joseph made now? Lord, I've been sold into slavery twice, and Lord, I've worked my way up, and you've blessed me, and now, Lord, she's after me. Lord, could you do something? Could you help me, Lord? And she just keeps it up. Notice what happens in verse number 8. But he refused. So he does the right thing. Now, notice in the outline, if you would, I want you to see this. Number 4, we think we are the center of the universe, but God is the center. And I'm sure about this time in Joseph's life, he's saying, Lord, I don't have to be the center of the universe. I just want to be on the outside next to you looking in. I just don't want to be in this position anymore. Lord, I don't want to be in the position of having to make these tough decisions. Lord, I'm the manager of this man's house, and now his wife is after me. And Lord, what do I do? I can't do this. But Lord, I don't know what to do. She won't leave me alone. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline. 5, we must learn that we are his servants. He is not our servant. And by the way, we need to learn that when we pray. That we're praying to a supreme being. To a sovereign God. That's why we don't pray flippantly. That's the reason whenever we get down and pray and try to take a little time with the Lord, there's honor and respect. And there's a holiness to our God. Do you remember the Uzzah was killed because he didn't follow the directions on how to carry the ark of God? And I can tell you this, we're not to come into the Lord's presence dirty. So we need to check our own hearts and say, before I pray, I want to make sure things are right in my life. I mean, whenever I was going to spend some time with Susan going over to her house, I worked as a plumber. I always went home and went into the shower and cleaned up and got as clean as I could and dressed up and then went over to her house. I would have never gone to her house like I had just finished work. And yet many times if we're not careful, I'm not talking about you can't pray unless you're dressed up. I'm just saying we ought not to pray unless we're clean in our hearts. And so we face a sovereign God. Notice if you would. 5, in the outline, we can ask for his help, but he can demand ours. Do we understand that? We are his servants. We can ask, Lord, would you help me with this? But he can look at you and say, Dave Pittman, I need you to do this. And I have to say, yes, sir. A, we can listen and obey and have his blessing. Now, this is the principle. We can listen and obey. And God will bless us. Well, Joseph is listening and obeying, and he's not getting God's blessing. So what's wrong? The first thing you check to make sure we're right, we're holy. Is everything right between the Lord and I? And then the second thing is, whenever it doesn't go well, I mean, you look at some of the people of Scripture, when it doesn't go well for them, I mean, Paul and Silas and various times whenever I've tried to do what's right and just seems like nothing ever works out well for me. You begin to check, make sure your heart is right, and then walk on and say, Lord, I trust you. What about Job? Did everything right, and nothing went right at one point in his life. And his wife broke and said, why don't you just curse God and let him kill you? He said, what, honey? We take good at the Lord's hands, and we don't take bad. And the Bible says Job refused to curse the Lord. He trusted him. Do we trust the Lord? There's a sovereignty about God that God has a master plan. And we have to learn to trust him. And that's Joseph's jobs here. But I'm going to tell you this, it's a hard job. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline. B, 5B, we cannot hear and refuse to obey and not suffer the result. We'll suffer the result. If we say, I'm not going to do that, I'm not listening, we're going to suffer the result for that. Notice, see, in his sovereignty, he grants us that choice. Now notice, in God's sovereignty and his almighty power and mercy and grace, he gives us the choice of, are we going to do what's right or are we going to do what's wrong in the midst of trial? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to sing when our backs have been bloodied? Or are we going to complain and get the put your lip disease? This is not fair. It's our choice. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline C, this is real important. He wants to see where our loyalty lies, with him or the world. Because it's a worldly attitude to have the put your lip disease. It's a worldly attitude to be negative and critical and get mad at people and angry and bitter. It get hurt feelings. And all the time somebody says something to us and we just get hurt feelings. And so it just affects everything about us. We get dejected and discouraged. It's not a spiritual thing. Christians are to be the happiest people on earth. You want to know why? Because no matter what happens in this life, we're on our way to heaven. And God's got a place prepared for you. And he says, if I go away, I'll come again to take you where I am. There you may be also. I've gone to prepare a mansion for you. Everybody in this room that's saved, Christ is prepared for you. So let me ask this question. If you get cancer, do you still have a home in heaven? Yes, you do. Let me ask this question. If you lose your job, do you still have a home in heaven? Yes, you do. If you have difficulties at work, can you go home and say, Lord, I need to talk to you and be clean and always know God answers? Yes, you can. Because there's a God in heaven that loves you. And Joseph did the same thing, only he didn't get blessings. It just seemed like he would do what's right, and all of a sudden everything would fall in the pit of destruction. And he'd do what's right, and everything would fall in the pit of destruction. He'd end up being sold as a slave, being ever put in prison. It was just a sad thing to him. And he said, you know, this thing of trying to please the Lord does not bring blessing on any kind of a basis. I think Joseph could have said that. But nowhere does it ever say he said that. Or even thought it. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, in Roman numeral 2. And I want you to see, God wanted, now let's go look at this little story here. Let's finish up the story and then we'll come back and look at the outline. And I want you to see it very quickly. Verse 8 of Genesis chapter 39. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not. He knoweth not what's with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither kept he back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this? Now listen very carefully. This great wickedness and sin against God. Do you understand that the wrong attitude, the wrong actions are always a direct offense to God? You know what he could have said? If I do this, I'll lose my job. I might have to go back to prison. I might get sold again. That wasn't his worry. He had two concerns. How can I do this to my master? And how can I do this to my Savior? Tonight, when you're facing trouble, do you think of the Lord and his testimony first? Do you think of the sovereignty of God? Do you trust him? And do you think of his name? How can I do this against God? How can I get the poochy lip disease against God? I know he loves me. I know he's got this. But you know what, tonight? All of us in this room from time to time get the poochy lip disease without the outward result. We just get discouraged in our heart. We get hurt in our heart and bitter. If anybody could have got hurt in his heart and bitter, it is Apostle Paul. And yet at midnight, when by all accounts his back is bloodied, he's in the stocks, he's in the deepest of the dungeon, and he should have been saying, I got to get some sleep. Oh, how I love Jesus. I mean, he starts to sing. I want to be a Christian like that. I'm not there yet. But I want to be. But I tell you what it takes. It takes an unwavering trust that your God is real and he has a plan and you're in it. And he makes no mistakes. And you're willing to suffer if need be. Look, notice if you would. And this is an amazing thing to me. In verse 10, Genesis 39:10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. that he hearkened not unto her. It was his job to go into the house and to do his duty in the house, and she was there. He was in a box. He could not go in the house. Then he couldn't get his jobs done. Then his boss would look at him and say, "You're not doing what I'm telling you." And he couldn't tell his boss, "Your wife is after me." How do you do that? He is in a box with no answer. And I'm certain he could say, "Lord, this isn't fair. There's got to be an answer to this." And so he keeps doing his job and keeps saying no. And then one day she takes the matters into her own hands and grabs him and says, "You come with me." And he leaves his coat and runs for his moral purity. And it makes her mad. Notice in the outline, Roman numeral 2, God wanted a testimony to Potiphar in his house. How's he going to get it? Well, A, God needed Joseph to faithfully serve as a man who owned him. He needed him to serve as a slave. And that's what Joseph did. So Joseph, as a slave, is doing exactly what the Lord wants him to do. You'll notice, if you would, number one, A1. First, God wanted Potiphar and his family to see a righteous man who served God. They wanted him to see. Now, where is he going to get this righteous man? There are none in Egypt. So you know what he's got to do? He's got to get Joseph sold into Egypt. Don't you think there could have been a little better plan if it would have been us planning it? But God has a plan. His way's perfect. And we have to learn to trust him. It's a hard thing. Notice, if you would, too. This is A2. God wanted to show Joseph he was still with him and was blessing him in spite of his ill treatment. So when he sold to Potiphar, he just keeps rising to the top. Now, all that's good. He begins to get a little bit of breath of fresh air because he's now managing Potiphar's house. And notice, if you would be in the outline, Potiphar's wife asked Joseph to be with her behind her husband's back. In other words, come lie with me. My husband will never know anything about it. We can have a great relationship. I don't like my husband anymore. And then you know the story. How can I do this terrible thing against my God? He had it right. And folks, tonight, when somebody asked you to lie, the man came in my office this week. He looked at me and he says, "Pastor, how could I take this job and lie and face the Lord?" He had it right. Now, I got his resume in my office. I said, "I'll try to pass it out and help you." I said, "I respect somebody like that." But he still didn't have a job. So tonight, I look at somebody like that, and I look at you in this room and me in this room, and every one of us got jobs, and there are certain things in those jobs that don't go right. Do we do what's right in spite? Or can somebody get us to lie a little bit? Can somebody get us to cheat a little bit? Can somebody grab our hands and say, "Come with me"? And we say, "I don't really want to, but okay." Not someone that has a fear of disappointing the great God of heaven. A respect for God. Folks, tonight, I want you to understand, everything boils down, if you don't do what's right, to you don't have enough love and respect to God. Because he's the reason. It's not about us. Notice, if you would, in the outline, see, she continually asked for Joseph to be with her. You know, it's one thing to turn wickedness down once. It's another thing twice or three times. But to have to look at it every day and say no. Now, I'm sure she was a beautiful lady. Because I just don't picture Potiphar marrying somebody that wasn't a gorgeous woman. But Joseph said, "It doesn't matter. I've got to stand before my Father in heaven to please him." And notice with quickly in the outline, D, Joseph refused her. And E, he refused for the Lord's sake and his master's sake. And folks, tonight, why you do things makes a big difference. Makes all the difference in the world. Why do you do what's right at work for the Lord's sake? Why do you do what's right at home for the Lord's sake? Why do you treat your husband right for the Lord's sake? Why do you treat your wife right for the Lord's sake? You see, it's not about us. We're just clay in the potter's hands. Tonight, the Lord says, "I want to use you. Will you let me?" God says, "I've looked down the quarter of time and I got a plan for you and you can do it." There's no temptation taking you, but you can do what's right. I've seen, and you can do what's right, and I've got this plan. But I need you to have the joy of the Lord. I don't need you to have the put your lip disease. I don't need you to run your boss down. I don't need you to get bitter. I need you to be real and to shine. Let's sing. F in the outline, she was offended and got him thrown in prison. We're going to come back here next week, but you'll notice G, God always wants us to see us faithfulness in hard times. Joseph was still hurting. I can assure you, Joseph was still hurting from his brothers and what they did to him. But even when his whole world was taken away, he still walked with God. Question is, will we remain faithful for God's sake, in spite of mistreatment? Will you? He's worth it. Question is, do we respect him that much? Next week, I want you to come back. We're going to take a look at the sovereignty of God and how it affects our lives a little bit more. But I want you to see, most of all next week, how you can affect other people's lives when you're like Paul and Silas or you're like Joseph. You can affect the world. You can affect the people you work with. You can affect neighbors. You know what, best part? You can affect your own family for good. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, both men and women can affect their mates in the best possible way, even if they don't read God's word, because they can watch Jesus in you for his sake. Tonight, can you take mistreatment and keep on smiling for Jesus' sake? Let's bow our heads forward to prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight, you come, whatever the need is tonight. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our heart tonight? I pray you'd help us to be strong enough Christians that we could take a licking and keep on doing right. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like Paul and Silas. Lord, help us to be like Joseph, to be like Job, and not like Jonah. Lord, that you just asked to do a task, but he wouldn't do it. Lord, when you blessed, he wasn't happy. Father, remove from us the hurt and the bitterness that so easily we're offended by little things that don't matter. Lord, help us to have such a respect for you that we're tough and sweet-spirited, and it's obvious the Lord is with us. Let's speak to hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.